Hey everybody, this is Gage.
And this is Clay, and we are the 3 a.m. Gaming Jamming Cinephiles, and we are glad to have you guys listening. This is going to be served as the Meet Us episode. So today we're going to be talking about just why we decided to do this podcast and all these topics and what we like about these topics, what we feel like we can talk about, and just what all we're going to get into with each of them. So glad to have you here.
Alrighty, so the beginning of the podcast, man. I'm excited.
Very excited, very excited. And this was one of those things where I always had a thought of it. And I know I ran it by you right before all this, thing that's going on in the world right now. I did this when we were still able to go to our, campus. I brought it up. And my big thought was, I know there were topics I wanted to talk about, but it was always, what can I do that it just makes sense? And I just thought, well, how about if we just combine all of it? Because so many podcasts talk about one of these topics or the other or two, but you don't see them talking about all of them in one. And I think that's what's so cool about this is not only am I with, not only just a close bud, but just someone I think that knows a lot of this and the stuff I don't know, he definitely knows a lot about. And it's also just awesome to be able to talk about all these different things. I think that's what's so cool about it.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, even when you and I first met, dude, I mean, that's all we talked about was, I think one of the first conversations we ever brought up was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, whenever we were trying to figure out who the guy that played that one crazy guy. Oh, man, I forget his name in the movie. But we were trying to look up to see who he was, and turns out he's in a few of our favorite Rob Zombie films.
So, oh, yeah, Bill Moseley, right?
Yeah, it was Bill Moseley, and we were trying to look up and see,
Yeah, Chop Top, yeah.
Yeah, Chop Top, that's right. Yeah, we're trying to figure out some stuff, and I think since then, me and you have been great friends, dude. So, and,
oh, yeah.
Our mutual liking of these topics and stuff like that is just, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and it was one of those things where I knew me and you were going to be, good friends when we met. But I really just think it was in that moment where I had the realization. I was in an intro to film class, just not this last semester, but the one before. So the fall semester of maybe 2019, if you want to say that. And that made me want to pursue film, but I didn't know how to get started. I didn't know anybody who was into it. I was just a guy with, hey, I want to do this, but starting out, you got to either know people or you've got to have money. And I had neither one really to do any of that. And then I met not only someone that I was someone that I knew was, a pretty decent friend. We just bonded over not only our similarities in film, but just the fact that not only that, but you liked to make movies. You knew that. And it just kind of surprised me that, wow, someone that, really likes to do this was right in front of me the whole time. And so not only are we just good friends, but we're also, we got a lot of projects also on the horizon too. So yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Absolutely. And I mean, I have been, making films and stuff like that through high school and stuff like that. We were really into it for a while. In fact, my soon to be fiance, actually, her and I even met through stuff like this. We met through a film group chat. And turns out that we both were in the same club together for a while too, the film club, where I had failed being president at. But whenever she took it over, it was almost, it was pretty cool. And her and I have been best friends since, man, I think I was, oh man, I can't even remember. I remember she was 12, man, and she's graduating and stuff like that now. So it's just, it's crazy, and her and I have been best friends for 5, 6, 7 years now, and and through film, this is how we were able to meet. So it definitely brings people together whenever you have these kind of similarities and stuff like that.
Yeah, it really does. That's a great way to put it.
Absolutely, man, and and even, our taste and stuff like that and music and stuff like that. I think that's amazing. We both, like the similar bands and stuff like that. And that's why I'm really glad that, we decided to do this little project. One, to be able to, you know, get people's names out and help people, you know, try to find, you know, their passion and try to help people with their passions and stuff like that, but also lead people towards, you know, different things and stuff like that. You know, if a movie's great or not, you know, we could help out with that. If a new album is good or not, you know, we could lead them towards, or, you know, lead them towards something else, you know what I'm saying? Which
yeah.
is awesome, which is absolutely amazing. And, you know, this is one thing that's going to be good for us, but I think good for, you know, future, you know, musicians and future, you know, people in film like us, you know, having somebody with somewhat, you know, of experience with some stuff like this, you know, trying to figure stuff out and definitely showing different ways that we can get these topics and stuff like that through would kind of help benefit some people, I think.
Yeah, it really would. And another way we can really help people in the thick of the show rather than just, you know, private messaging, you know, and stuff like that. There's a capability on the app we're using this to record. You guys can send in voice messages to us once after we get through these introduction episodes. It could be just this episode or the next one. We're going to just see. We're not going to rush anything. But we can have this introduction. And after we get the introduction done, the great thing about the Anchor app that we're recording this on is it also just allows us to do voice messages. So you can send them into us and we can, I'm pretty sure we can play them on the actual episode. I'm relatively sure we can edit them in and we can respond to those. So we can have you, we can provide you feedback right in the thick of the show that can really help people. And the biggest thing, if anybody who ever watches any of our podcasts, and I'll probably repeat this throughout, you know, however long the podcast goes, we could keep it up for, you know, however long that makes the most sense. Basically, if you have an idea or you want to do something, my thought was on it, well, after I met you and after, you know, things started lining up, I put two and two together and went, I want to make content, I want to do film, but I need to build an audience first. So my biggest tip would be, find something you want to do that's in your lane that you can get a couple of people following you first that know maybe your opinions, your thought processes, how you operate, so they can get a little, you know, idea of you and how you would click. If that's filmmaking, then for mine would be film reviews. I do film reviews and film rankings on my YouTube, and that's kind of got me started so people can kind of see like what I view to be a good film versus an iffy film versus a bad film. And if you're a musician, then it would be, you know, maybe review and react to songs so people can see what your thing is, because reactions and reviews are something that a lot of people watch. And I think it's one of those things that if you really want to pursue that, you can add that in here and there, and it won't feel forced to the audience. And it will, if you show their opinions and they share those opinions with you, that could be a fan gain through just, you know, content that's just very easy to create.
Absolutely. And, you know, for everybody listening, you know, I mean, no dream is ever too far away. You know, maybe, you know, maybe it will take time. You know, maybe it does take, you know, patience and stuff like that. Me, I mean, literally, if you could only ask the people that I've talked to, and even Clay can vouch for this, where I told him that I'd had projects on films, and I would wait on these meetings that we would have for these films, and no one would show up because of it being, you know, more of a nonprofit thing, mostly just trying to help people. You know, I have connections with people who make music and people who do all kinds of things, and editing videos and stuff like that, like just insane kinds of, you know, like CGI and stuff. It's amazing what you would find with people. In fact, one of the guys that does some of my CGI work, his name is Jalen. I actually met him my first semester of college, and he just so happened to have some CGI work and stuff. And this is all the guy does. And, so, you know, getting his name out, you know, he helps me with my videos, and just, I mean, trying to get with people that share these interests, and whether it is your interest or not, you know, if you can both find benefits in each other, go for it. Absolutely. And that is one, going to cut down some of your prices and stuff like that. Other, you know, other things and stuff like that by, best thing to do is just, you know, go on, like even Clay said, go and find, you know, people who show these same passions and show that they have passions in something that you both can use.
Yeah. And I think, I'd add in something from one of my favorite filmmakers, Quentin Tarantino. He said this in an interview I watched. It was this interview. I think it was around the Pulp Fiction. I think we got an interview when this happened, and I can't remember the interviewer, but he asked Quentin, you know, what was the process? What was the idea of why he wanted to make movies? When did it click? And for him, he was kind of always a cinephile, and I guess I kind of was too. I didn't really register what a cinephile was. I mean, when you're 5 years old, you couldn't define what a cinephile was, but hit you upside the head, of course. But once I got to about 14, 15, I really started seeing, you know, like I could recognize, oh, that's a great visual or that's a cool line. But the intro to film class really took it over the top for me. And that made me like a true cinephile. That made me look at each aspect. And when the interviewer asked Quentin Tarantino, you know, any advice he'd give to a filmmaker or someone who wanted to do film, he said that do it if it's the only thing you can picture yourself doing. If you can't picture yourself doing anything else and it's all you think of and it's all you want to do and you're obsessed with it, do it. And that would be the same thing I would say, because you're not going to start out and within a week have $100 million making a blockbuster. It's a process. You've got to find people who can get you started. Friends, if it's friends, great. If it's people you meet on the side of the road that seem to have passions and can, you know, tolerate you on set, great. You know, you just meet people who know what they're doing in this. If it's film or music or whatever, just meet people who know what they're doing and can help you. And just put your stuff out there, build up an audience and market yourself, promote yourself, and, you know, you be the best you can be in that creative outlet, and you know, then see what happens from there.
Absolutely. And, you know, and building off of that, you know, there's so many things that you can do, and whether it's film or whether it's whatever you want to do in life, if you put your mind and dedication to it, 100% you'll be able to get it. No doubt. Through failure, you learn, and sometimes you may, you know, be in predicaments, you know, like me. In fact, whenever I was working on a project called American Cannibal, you know, nobody showed up, and I basically had to scratch the entire idea. And when you get with people that truly mean well about the situation and about the scenarios and about the things, like, I mean, I've had people, you know, contact me and tell me, you know, they want me to help, you know, with their films and stuff like that, or they want me to write their scripts. Like, I understand, you know, things like that, but you also have to worry about not only for them, but you need to look out for you as well whenever it comes with the stuff. Because if you do decide to, you know, do this or that, you definitely want to be a part of something. You just don't want to be, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say taken for granted, but you almost want to build relationships with people. You want to, you know, invite them over. It doesn't matter if you're going to watch a movie or something like that. Find out what makes you both jive, what jives with both of your minds. And I think one thing with Clay and I is that whenever we sit down and talk about a video idea, or we sit down and talk about, you know, a similar movie, that we both have different views on things and we can come together as one. But the thing is that both of us have different tastes. Even though they're very similar, we also have very different tastes. And that's why whenever we collaborate on a, you know, a video idea, such as one that he's working on, actually pretty soon, it was called Internal Fracture. We've sat down and we've thrown ideas around, and he's given me ideas. I've given him his, you know, some of mine, and just sitting down and trying to figure these things out, have really brought along. I think we're actually finished with the script here pretty soon. Isn't that right? We just have to get a few things finalized.
Yeah, just a few things finalized. The biggest thing is the third act. So I'm working on the third act. Is where we're at right now, or where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing I'd like to add on top of that is, if you're going to do filmmaking, make sure you know people who, and you tell them ahead of time. Like, and once I came to this realization and kind of floated around the idea, you know, when we were still going to the campus we go to, I had that realization I wanted to do film for a little bit, and before I realized, wow, you know, Gage loves movies, and yes, that really helped us, you know, really get close and bond. But I could already tell we were going to be good friends before that. But that just really, you know, just really added to it. But find people who really love it in the craft or whatever it is you're doing, because if they really love it, money's not a problem. Money's not going to be, oh, well, I'm not getting paid, so I'm not going to do it. So if you're going to go into it for a cash grab, don't do it. And a lot of actors say that too for advice, and it's the same thing, because making it in the entertainment industry and a lot of different outlets, it's very much a process, and it takes a lot of work, a lot of some people say getting knowing people, but it doesn't have to necessarily be that. You just got to build yourself, build that audience, market yourself. And, you know, for me, it's also creating different types of content, the podcast. We got our YouTube series coming out soon, Internal Fracture, my own YouTube channel. Just doing a bunch of different content that's still in your lane will also help.
Absolutely. And another thing, just like whenever you said going for a money grab, guys, I mean, to be completely honest, there are times when you're not, you know, things are going to seem out of your limit. Whenever it comes to money, and money is a part of the entire process. You put money in, and you're guaranteed, you know, 9 times out of 10, starting off, you're not going to get anything back. You know, so it's true love and dedication for your craft, for your art. And you know, the best thing I could do is just find people who, you know, love acting, you know, or something like that, who do not mind to do something like that for free. When I was in high school, I had some films that I would be working on, and I actually talked with our theater teacher in high school, and she would actually, she talked through it with a few people, and she talked through it with the principal, and basically stated that she would give, you know, a few extra credit points for helping me with videos, whether it be learning how to shoot films and stuff like that. And my mentor, Mr. Cooper in high school, man, he literally, he used to, be a film, videographer for, a news station. And he would, show me all kinds of different things, with camera angles, just all kinds of things, setting up everything. It's just something that I can always keep with me.
Yeah, my moment didn't come to me that early. It was more of a late bloomer, but I think that love for movies was always there. But there's always that stigma or thing that goes around, like when especially whenever you're a teenager or an adult or a young adult or whatever, and you want to try to make an entertainment industry, and you tell people that, they're always going to give you that phrase, or basically, to sum it up, is to just find a safer job. And if you want to make it in the entertainment industry, if it's just making it to put money in your pocket or to get paparazzis, then yeah, find a safer job. But people who say that and usually repeat it and stick with it as saying that's what they want to do for, let's say, at least a year or two, it's because they love it. So if someone tells you to pick a safer career, just use that to either motivate you or, you know, maybe that's like an average audience member that goes to a movie. Find that as a way to turn that person into a fan, you know, and so that would be even a little bit more advice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only movies, you know, do we have in common, you know, our love for music.
Yeah. Yeah, more specifically, the rock side, we have a lot of similar opinions, and we have a few differences, but for the most part, that's, I would say that's probably where we're the most similar is probably our music taste.
Yeah, I agree, you know, whether, you know, it's Marilyn Manson or anything like that, just different styles of rock, different types of metal, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's what really made me love the genre is that it's so different. To me, looking at all the different genres, yes, they all, some certain ones have subgenres, but to me, rock is so diverse. It's the genre obviously I listen to the most, so maybe there are other genres out there that have subgenres that are a lot of subgenres. To me, I think rock has the most subgenres, and what's so interesting about that is there's a subgenre for everyone, really. There's a subgenre that's, you know, you still got grunge, you know, grunge maybe making a comeback soon. You've got the post-grunge era of the 2000s. You've got the 80s and 70s with your AC/DCs, your Motley Crue's. You can go way, way back to the 60s with, you know, Creedence or Rolling Stones. And then you got more modern stars. Five Finger has been around for a while, Five Finger Death Punch, but they're still pretty big in the modern circuit. So it's always about, you know, that's what I love about that genre as well. It's just so diverse. You've got heavy metal, you've got metal, you've got that post-grunge, you've got grunge, you've got, some people call it pop rock, but you've got basically, you could call that like what Daughtry and Three Doors Down. So I love how rock is so diverse and it can really fit with really any emotion really that you're feeling or anything you're really going through or an event happening or just any vibe you want to feel. There's a rock song or a subgenre out there that can really get it.
Absolutely, man. And things like that, you know, it's just, you know, you have so many different, sorry about that. Even with, you know, on the more metal sides of things, you know, you have your death metal, you have your metalcore, you have melodic death metal, you know, you have your Viking metals, you have pirate metal. There's all kinds of things, you know, that even fit, you know, with metalheads and stuff, man. And, you know, things are, you know, are looking up, in places that show these similar music tastes. Nashville's, you know, upcoming, you know, bringing in the rock, you know, in the rock phase. I've always, you know, somewhat knew about Nashville's, I wouldn't necessarily say darker side. You know, everybody knows that it's the, you know, country music everything, you know, but it's also got rock and roll, you know the South is mainly known for, you know, country music and stuff like that, but you have diverse bands like Kings of Leon that come from Tennessee, you know. You have
that's a good one. That's a good one to play there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you even had 3-6 Mafia from Memphis. You know, you have all kinds of different genres, and that's rap. I mean, you know, Memphis is a huge blues, you know, area. You know, that's the some people call it the birthplace of blues, and you know, some people say it's, you know, in other places and stuff like that. But it definitely had a huge impact on blues music, and you know. You have, you know, some heavier metal bands such as Whitechapel, who is also from, you know, Tennessee. Also, you even I have a band, First of October. We have recently even just dropped our first original on the Bandcamp at the Bandcamp.com. And you know, we're stoked about that, but it's just showing that, you know, Nashville isn't just country music. Nashville isn't just, you know, orchestra music. You know, there's so many different things, just like anywhere else, you know, in the United States. You know, when it comes to music, you know, it's just as diverse as, you know, anywhere else.
Yeah, and I think that comes with the stereotype. I mean, it's been such a long time that Nashville's been known for, you know, the country music side of things. And I know there's also been some rock bands that have been getting shows in the Nashville area. Now, I've never been to this building or know where it's located, and I wish I could remember the name for the life of me, but I know it was this small little club area. And I was just listening to this band on Apple Music. Over the last couple of months, I've been getting a lot of Instagram ads, but they were from these actually like really good underground artists in the rock industry. And one of them is a group called Three Teeth. And what they are is they're more like an electronic rock band. And they had a show way, way back. This is like September or October of last year. And they were doing a couple of shows in Nashville in this little club area. So, I mean, yeah, Nashville's very much just all around music, even though it's mostly known for country and it's a very big country music outlet. It's also got it for everything else, too. And it's, yeah, so just don't. Just break, try to break down those stereotypes, whether it's any music, you know, if you want to go, because music is such a big thing in Nashville. You can go to Nashville and say you want to be a rock artist because there are people based in Tennessee who are in that genre. The lead of Seether actually owns a house somewhere in this area.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And you know, even I heard, a couple members of Motley Crue live in Nashville, you know, members of Poison. Everybody loves Nashville. You know, it's a huge place for, you know, all kinds of musicians to come, you know, to come around. You know, we have historical places such as the Ryman, which we can bring back in one of our topics here in just a few minutes, the paranormal side. You know, some people say that Johnny Cash still, you know, is there. You could see him leave from there and go to a bar. You know, it's just.
I think I watched the Ghost Adventures episode over that. I think they investigated that.
Man, I think I remember that. Yeah.
I think they did something about Johnny Cash. Like, they've done a bunch of stuff over past singers. They definitely, I remember them investigating a house. Either it was the house that he used to live at or one of the houses he used to live at, and that was Frank Sinatra. I remember that. And I think the one you're talking about right now with Johnny Cash. And once we get into the paranormal side of things, Ghost Adventures was a big part of me deciding I wanted to do it after watching Ghost Adventures for a long time. And then there's been these other videos on people's YouTube channels or smaller channels of people just getting some people together who knew what they were doing or just knew with experience and just went and investigated. So all those combined was really, and that in just 2 or 3 months of thinking about it, after you see certain things happen on screen, you're just like, I don't know if I want to put myself in danger like that. But then you watch it, and it's like, yeah, let's risk, you know, someone getting, you know, just falling over, being locked in a room they don't want to be locked in. But it's just not just the thrill of it, but it's amazing to me. I get an awesome feeling seeing something like that, you know, validating that it exists, door. And it's so, it's one of those things where I feel like when you're in the moment, I've had maybe one or two experiences, nothing major like a lot of other people. But it's one of those things where it's hard. I understand for some people who are skeptics, it's hard for people to believe sometimes. And the reason why, I think, is, oh, there's an orb flying around, that can be a bug. Or, oh, someone said they saw something, they could put in a shadow. And while, yes, that kind of makes sense, you also, if you're there in the moment, there's things you'll get if you're in the moment in the actual location that are worse and affect you more personally than anything that can be captured on a camera. So that's another reason, you know, just because you're capturing a couple of things on camera that still some skeptics are going to say you're staging it or isn't real or doesn't prove anything. if they went with you or if they were there, they'd feel things too, like maybe chills or just unnatural feeling or edges in the air. It's sometimes hard to explain.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a few people who've done, you know, paranormal investigating. And to be honest, you know, that was also a big part of my filmmaking. You know, these events that people have went through that you can actually add in, and one, have your video show that it's based on true events, but also, you know, different things. You know, you and I, you know, we live here in Tennessee, and actually you live closer, but the Bellwitch Cave, man, the Bellwitch.
I live within a solid max. If I get behind a slow motherfucker, I'm like 10 minutes away, tops.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? And I think that the coolest thing about it is that we are so close to these, you know, huge things. I mean, I remember talking to people and they said that they remember reading books and stuff like that from Florida and stuff about the Bellwitch. And a lot of times they didn't even remember that it was a part of, you know, even our cultural area. You know, I constantly hear about the Bellwitch, whether it's, oh, my family has been, you know, haunted by the Bellwitch for years. In fact, I actually knew some of the descendants of Mr. Bell and stuff like that from the stories of his family having to go through with this spirit, and supposedly, you know, he, you know, doesn't think that it, you know, haunts their family anymore or whatever. But the stories about you know, Mr. Bell's son, you know, trying to capture the ghost and with a blanket or whatever, and it was just getting so heavy whenever he was bringing it to the fireplace that he just couldn't hold on to it anymore, and just crazy stuff like that, man. It's, you know, if we have lesser known, you know, legends about spirits and stuff like the Wampus Cat, and, you know, if we have different, you know, parts of Tennessee actually has some pretty cool ones. You know, we have our normal Sasquatch stuff, Tennessee Wild Man and stuff, the White Screamer, just different things like that. But on the paranormal sides, man, we have so much, including the Bellwitch, but, you know, different things about, you know, just spirits of the woods. You know, you have your here and there, say, you know, cult activities and, you know, people getting busted for weird things and stuff, and legends of huge fish, just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, and we could really get into the woods area maybe in the paranormal episode we do of Kennedy Ann and the Straight Man. And for those of you that are watching, Kennedy Ann and the Straight Man is the name of a project that me and Gage are both going to be working on, along with a family that's really close to Gage. And it's a web series that's really – it's going to have comedic elements, and it's very going to be rooted in comedy, but it's also going to capture the inner human in all of us and how someone who you know, Kennedy Ann and the Straight Man, we got a straight man. And we got, you know, a cross-dresser, but it's about how they can really just do things together and coexist. And that's going to be a web series on YouTube that we're also going to be working on very, very soon with meetings and then, you know, making the episodes and putting those out there. That's going to be coming soon over the summer. That stuff's going to start coming out as well. And maybe we could do that for our paranormal episode that I really want to do now. After talking to Noel, I want to do a paranormal episode. We could do the woods area if we can't get a physical location, because sometimes that's just as good. Some awesome paranormal things can happen in woods too.
Absolutely, man. And in fact, that there are, you know, rumors of Indian burial grounds and stuff like that around here. You know, even that being a aspect of somebody's video. You know, granted, I know there's movies, you know, who have done that. You know that you know. Indian burial ground stuff like Pet Cemetery and, you know, movies like Poltergeist and stuff, but
all the sacred land stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just stuff like that, man, that I think it truly scares people. And
yeah, because it's real. Like, you could see stuff like that happen. You could see something if, like, a race of people held something very important to them, and it was used for something that they couldn't voice their opinions because they don't exist in a the way that they exist, like me, you, or anyone that's going to listen to this exist. I think people do exist after, you know, death. I think you can – I have different beliefs in what you believe, and that's perfectly fine. My belief is you can be a spirit or you can't be. If you feel like you have unfinished business or you felt like you were wrongly, you know, taken away from the world at the wrong time, I feel like you could stick around. And I think that's why we have these hauntings, is because these spirits have always kind of stuck around. It's just when you tamper with land, that if they were still around would tell you, no, we're not going to allow that. You're going to get that type of stuff. At least that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, man. And, you know, things like that, you know, that really get me. But I'll tell you what scares me to no end, and that is movies such as like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and stuff. Not really, you know, these, you know, not like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that, you know, with Freddy who comes back to life and stuff.
And granted, yeah, you know how I feel about Freddy.
Right.
I could put in Freddy and laugh at it the whole time. That thing can't scare me.
Exactly.
But movies like Halloween, that movie actually scares me more than a lot of movies, because there are people that get put in mental asylums, break out, and kill people.
Yeah. And
it's,
and
to me, a film, especially if it's a horror film, if you've got a premise that can actually happen, or hauntings based on things that, you know, people can actually see happening, it gets under people's skin.
100%. And that's what really, you know, keeps me up at night, is not only, you know, do we have, you know, the monsters that we were scared of, you know, hiding in our closets as kids and stuff, but to know that us as humans can be those monsters, you know, such as, you know, serial killers and stuff like that, you know, Ed Gein and stuff like that, the inspiration for, you know, Leatherface and stuff like that. That stuff somewhat happened, you know what I mean? And like, you know, how he would wear people's skin, dude. That's really messed up. And the fact that somebody, or, you know, anybody, you know, you meet somebody, you know, or you walk past somebody, that's what gets me. Who could be somebody like this? Who could be so cold-blooded, you know? And, you know, I think that's what really scares me, is the human race.
Yeah. You could be walking on the side of the street talking to somebody who seems completely fine. And you could be in a grocery store, you know, with this one random dude you never met before, talking about how the last sports game went. And a week down the road, you turn on the news platform and you look up and you see mugshots of him because he murdered his family or some stuff, you know, and stabbed someone 50 times, you know, like, you never know. And that's definitely, I think that's why certain stuff like that really can get under people's skin and really just make them feel a level of fear that's just, it's otherworldly crazy. And I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the first Halloween movie is based off of a book, and that book is based off real events, sort of. Like, it's based off, it was inspired by someone who actually did something similar. Like, someone who murdered a member of his family, got put in a mental asylum, broke out, and then tried to run out of his neighborhood.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I really don't know the name of the book, man, but I do know that things like that.
Yeah, I didn't know the name of the book either, and I'm very sure the real person wasn't named Michael either. It may have been, but I'm probably not going to say it definitely wasn't Michael Myers. They wouldn't have put that in the movie. But it was definitely so you could say the film is loosely off of true events, whereas the book it's somewhat based off of is more close to an accurate, you know, occurrence.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, just as Leatherface and, you know, Ed Gein, you know, was the inspiration for Norman Bates. You know, he was the inspiration for, you know, Buffalo Bob, or Buffalo Bill too, from the Joe Dirt movie and stuff like that. God. He was the, you know, whichever one you want to think, you know, he was the inspiration for Leatherface and stuff, you know, and so many different things. And, you know, Leatherface's name being like, you know, like, you know, I know one of the names in the movies. I haven't seen them all yet, but like Jebediah Sawyer. That's, you know, where does Jebediah Sawyer come anywhere from Ed Gein? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, Norman Bates, you know, things like that, you know, were inspired by him and his terrible deeds, you know, the, you know, and in fact, you know, just, you know, and that really does scare me. And movies like Wrong Turn and stuff like that, you know, have an impact on people from the South even, you know. For years I've heard the stereotypical hillbillies and stuff like that of the hills and, you know, the inbred cannibals and stuff like that.
And Wrong Turn.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Which is that I think it's a pretty good movie. You know, it's different, but
I'm not much on the first one. I have an unpopular opinion about that movie franchise. I actually really like the second one, and I enjoy the fourth one. The first one's good. It's okay for an introduction, but I don't really think it's all that good. The third one's really bad, and the fifth one, oh, dear Lord, I'd rather gouge my eyes out.
See, that's the thing. I didn't even know there were multiple of them. So
there's six.
Oh, my gosh. You just, like, oh, my God.
Basically, I would watch... I'd watch one, two, since you said you kind of liked one, I'd watch the first one, then the second one, then the fourth one. Don't bother with the third one, because the third one, it's so bad. It's the premise of these freaking prisoners, and they're being driven to another prison. I can't remember why. I think it's because the current prison, like all these prisoners here are being like to a more like maximum security place, and they the bus crashes. And then they crash in the woods of the fucking, you know, inbred hillbilly people.
Yeah.
And, it's so bad. The first kill, this guy steps on a fucking bear trap, but it's made to, like, come up and take your whole, like, cover your whole body. So it's supposed to split him in half, right? Well, you want to know how bad the gore was? It literally looked like someone took a bunch of gelatin on the inside of this fake body. And that was the inside. No guts, nothing. Just a bunch of crappy gelatin with maybe some food coloring to make it look somewhat pinkish red. And it looked like for blood squirts, they took like two squirts of ketchup.
Wow.
It was one of the, I couldn't tell whether I wanted to get mad at my TV and turn it off or just laugh for the rest of the movie.
Right. And,
yeah.
But even the concepts behind it, you know, even was supposedly based on a true story. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, dude, you hear all the time, you know, things that parents would tell their kids to make sure that they came in the house before the street lights came on, you know, just stuff like that, you know.
Oh, man. We could get into a lot of legends and a lot of pictures about street lamps and capturing creatures and spirits through street lamps. Like, there's a lot of stuff out there and a lot of stuff I've seen just scrolling through, not even really researching for it. And there's a lot of crazy things that can happen with that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, growing up and stuff like that in, you know, the deep, you know, deeper, I wouldn't really say deep South, but, you know, definitely in the boonies of, you know, Tennessee and stuff, you know, we would always be told as kids, you know, if you ever hear banjos in the woods, to run in the other direction. Do not follow the sound of the banjos. And I actually know a person who used to tell me this, and something bad actually happened to him, actually. He was, I think he was around 10 years old, I think is what he told me. And him and his uncle were going to a friend's house. And, you know, they all they had was a map. You know, they didn't have GPS and stuff back then. And so he said that they would be playing music and stuff like that. So they followed the sound of a banjo that they had heard in the woods and ended up going to a wrong house. And a family were sitting out on their front deck and shot at them multiple times. And, you know, they made it out. They did damage to their vehicle and stuff like that. They were able to call the police, but... You know, they did trespass, so they really didn't get in trouble because, you know, one is back then, and two, they trespassed on private property. But just thinking that there's an actual account of stuff like that, that really starts to dig into movies such as Wrong Turn. You know, you have, you know, these different things that coincide with
reality. Yeah,
reality. And that is one thing that really gets me, is that, you know, us as humans, you know, we always want peace. We want world peace and stuff. But, you know, I think we are the real monsters in everything. You know what I mean? Like, us as humans can be terrible people. We see, you know, mass shootings and stuff like that nowadays and stuff like that. Ever since the late 1990s and stuff. And that's it's really upsetting to know that, you know, somebody, you know, that you may have known or something like that is going through stuff. And if that's one thing I can truly say to anybody, is reach out and be somebody's friend. You know, Don't be afraid. You know, people might not, you know, understand things like you do. And people, you know, are afraid, you know, of themselves. And I think to reach out to people, one, you know, it could even help you. Always, you know, if you think somebody's, you know, going through tough times and stuff like that and is not being able to handle it, I know this is off topic, but truly, you know, there are things, you know, that have been said throughout the years that, you know, about people. In fact, even in high school, I was bullied and I was told that, you know, I was going to be somebody that would do something like that. And that's not cool to joke about, you know, and it really,
I was told that too, by two people I used to live with that I don't live with anymore. And I told you about them, and I was told that before. Like, there were times, because they didn't view me as social, even though I'm not going to get into that on the podcast, but, yeah, so I know what you're getting at.
Exactly. And it can really affect people, you know what I mean? And I think that is the best thing I can tell somebody, is to, you know, be that keeper that, you know, brings somebody and lifts somebody up. And yep. You know, and maybe you'll find out that you have a lot in common with that person, you know what I mean? And it's something that everybody can do. Anybody can be that friend. Anybody can have, you know, that person to lean on. And, you know, and maybe they'll help you with films or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Maybe you'll meet this one guy, you know, who's just, you know, not really paying attention all that much and is looking at other people playing. I'm talking about me, not you. talking about people playing all these, you know, games, you know, playing cool math. And then the person sitting two seats down from you is somebody who you all of a sudden have a dream to do movies, and he's right there and he's been doing it for a while. I mean, small world. But to getting back to what you were just saying, I don't really think it's off topic. I mean, given what a lot of people are going through right now with, you know, being, you know, in your house versus, you know, the frequency and the ability to get out of, you know, people to get out of their homes. Just doing that mental health statement, it fits given the situation a lot of people are in. Because I've seen a lot of people, you know, get really, you know, they're on a thin wire, you know. They're either really emotional in that sense, or they're really agitated, you know. And it just comes with, you know, not being able to live your life naturally. So I see the angle from your playing it. But given the circumstances like many, many people are in, I don't really view it as too much off topic.
Yeah, and I can actually kind of see where that's coming from, you know, and you know, regardless, you know, if anybody needs to reach out, you know, definitely reach out to somebody you trust and love and stuff like that, because, to be honest, you know, just always, you know, keep your head up and you know, life, you know, it can be hard sometimes. You know, you can feel like you've hit a wall, or, you know, anything like that. And if that's one thing with my music and my videos and stuff like that, you know, besides, you know, yeah, I make horror movies. That's like kind of my go-to thing. But if there's anything I could do to lift somebody, you know, and to inspire somebody to be the best that they can be and to love themselves and to love one another. That's my dream about all this, is to help somebody and to be there for somebody when they need it, you know?
Yeah. That's really one of the best things you can do, period. And filmmaking, you know, if you're a true cinephile, I mean, I love, you know, all different types of genres now, because I've been getting into it over the last couple of years being a late bloomer, but there's been a director who's inspired me. So you can not only be that, you know, person needs to be there for them in a mental or emotional sense, you can inspire them to do something with their life. One of my favorite directors is James Wan, because his story is very inspirational. He took a concept called Saw, made it a short film, marketed it, put it out on a film festival. Lionsgate saw it, picked it up, gave him $200,000 for a feature film. And in the opening weekend, it got distributed to theaters. It made over or almost $100 million in its opening weekend.
Yeah, and I'm
actually... And now he's the biggest, you know, he's brought horror to a big budget area. You know, he's done Insidious and the Conjuring films. And in interviews, that's what he said he's wanting to do. He's wanting to bring that big budget horror back. And he did that. And not in a way that's predictable.
Yeah. And I'm inspired by his works too, you know. You know, just I've heard about his stories and stuff like that, and you and I have talked about that a long time ago. And I think that's one thing that we connected with too, is that we're inspired by his works, and you know, that's absolutely amazing of what he did, and it's actually my dream, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm more diverse in the ideas I come up with, and if you had told me when I first wanted to do film that I would come up with all these different genre ideas, I'd tell you were crazy. But now I'm coming up with all these different genres because I like the idea of doing something creative and unique to each project. And doing a horror film, it's always something I'm probably going to want to do, or a horror project or a horror video or a horror series or whatever. It's always going to be something that's going to be on my mind. But until the right idea comes in for me, it's not going to be something I'm going to do from my mind, but like all the things you work on, you've got an idea you're working on that's a more of a found footage concept that you floated by me that is very, very interesting, that I'd be, you know, more than excited to be a part of. Just from my own creative aspect, like a writing or directing it myself, I would need a better idea because I love the genre so much. So to me, it would have to be something like, I've got to know what I'm doing. Whereas with Internal Fracture, being it more of like a drama thriller with a bit of crime in there, I feel like it's something that I've seen done in film a couple of times. So I know the pacing of it. And it's just something where if I can picture certain events happening, I go towards that easier than something I don't have picturing scenes in my mind first. And a sci-fi thriller I want to do after Internal Fracture somewhere down the road as well. I can picture scenes happening in my head already. So that's another good thing. If you can picture things happening, that's a vision. And that's another important thing I want to hit on, and maybe we'll hit on as this podcast continues, is if you're going to create film and be a filmmaker, make sure you have vision, you know, have something unique you want to bring to it. And I would always tell people when I first started, Corey, who's going to be playing the lead in my film Internal Fracture, is something I really wanted to do. I always told him before I even started on the script and stuff, it's got to be unique. It's got to have some twist on it. It's got to have something that makes it pop. And at the time, I wasn't saying vision, but that's what it was. It was me having a vision. And I know you've got some awesome ideas. So you've got great visions for your projects. I've got great visions. So, and it doesn't have to be filmmaking. Musicians can have visions as well in their albums. You know, what messages are you trying to give people? So if you're someone who's listening to this that wants to go into that industry, whether it be music or film, or you want to be a paranormal investigator, you got to find people who have been doing that for a bit and just find something you want to put out there content wise. What angle do you want to play it from? You know, what type of things are you going to do?
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's one thing. One, you have your vision, and two, you can be a crappy artist like me get you a sketchbook, get you a composition book, and whenever you do your films, think in your head, like, what do I want this scene, you know, this scene to look like? And if that's one thing that Mr. Cooper in high school, man, that man, he literally inspired me to do everything. He told me, basically, he calls it a shot book. And you figure out your shots and you figure out your scenes. And I've written entire composition books of videos and stuff of what I wanted to see and, you know, how I wanted it done and what was my vision. That way people can somewhat, I mean, you know, stick figures or whatever, can see, you know, what they're going to do, you know, and you know, how, and it also can bring emotion. What kind of emotion do you need to be in there? And I usually write that in my script too. You know, just something that they can read, you know, like, this is a fearful thing, like, given a scenario, just like in a book, you can read it and almost be in it. I want people to read my script and be like, oh my gosh, I'm actually in this. Like, this is terrifying. And, you know, or, you know, this is very emotional, you know, and that's the thing that I really pride myself in is, you know, I think it can bring new vision to people because we live, we kind of live in a society now to where vision is lacked through all different aspects of life.
Extremely.
Exactly.
Especially in film, because you look at it now, look at all the movies come out in theaters. You got these blockbusters like Marvel movies, the MCU, the DC movies, a lot of videos I watch about, like, Christopher Nolan, a lot of people say he's really the only one that can come up with his own ideas and get a decent budget for it. And that's a good way of putting it. So it is difficult to have a vision out there. That's why these filmmakers say when you're getting your start, a lot of the ones that we love, we love them because they have a unique vision. And when people ask them, you know, what's your advice? Do it only if you have no choice, because you're going to struggle because of the way Hollywood is now. And, that's why I love A24, because A24 picks up those independent filmmakers that have those unique visions and puts it out there.
Yeah. And their stuff is actually, you know, you told me about a few movies that have came out, you know, recently with that, and some really good ones even. But even that, my main thing, man, is, you know, when trying to get out there, you know, vision is definitely something that you need. Tarantino, man, you know, sometimes in his movies, I'm like, what is going on? You know, how did he come up with this? It's because he is so unique. Pulp Fiction, for instance, you know?
Yeah. Pulp Fiction is one of those things where the most creative aspects of the vision is the way he's able to blend all these different timelines and the way they convey, and just the storytelling structure. It's not linear. And at the time when that came out in around the mid-90s, that was just not something that was natural.
Yeah, it was so crazy. And it really was mind-boggling to some people, you know, how just, you know, it was this and then it was that. And then, you know, here's another story. You know, here comes Bruce Willis. Oh, wait, you know, John Travolta's back in it. You know spoiler alert, gets shot and falls into a bathtub. And you're like, what the hell? Just a few minutes ago, he, you know.
Uh-huh. And then 5 minutes later, he's back doing some shit, saving this girl from overdosing, ODing. Like, what the fuck? You just got shot into a bathtub.
Exactly. And it's just like, what is going on? And, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about that movie, per se, you know, and Tarantino.
I like the aspect of it jumping, but I like the way not only does it jump, but once it jumps, it's not like you're confused by the jumping. It jumps and then the scene sets itself up and then it gets executed and it jumps here. And then, yeah, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, I've been watching this for 2 hours. How does this all combine? And then by the end of it, it does combine. I think the way the structure he does that creates more of an epic, more investing feel, because you're more inside your mind asking your own questions rather than just seeing something occur, event, 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 credits.
Absolutely. And movies like that really intrigue you to think about everything. another movie I've seen. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It is a Johnny Depp film, but it is called Secret Window. That movie, if you...
Wow. Is that like a thriller type movie where he's an artist?
It is actually, he is like writing this book, I think, or whatever.
I've
And
heard of it, and I watched like the beginning of it, and it was really good, but I haven't watched any more of it.
it is
But yeah, I
something
know.
that if you do not watch it from beginning to end, like I'm serious, you blink and you're like, what just happened? Like, and you will be lost. Like, the entire story, there's so many stories kind of like that that you have to blend in by yourself. And it's so amazing, that so many different things can happen. I've seen that movie one time, and my head was hurting, but in a good way, because I was thinking through everything, and it's almost like you don't need to think about it, you just need to watch, and everything will fall into place. But if, man, you get up and you don't pause it to go to the bathroom or something like that, you're going to come back and it's going to be completely different than whenever you've seen it. And you're like, what? This is not what I just saw. Like, this is insane.
Yeah, and I always have to do that when I watch a movie. I usually don't watch in one sitting beginning to end unless I'm in a theater.
Absolutely.
So,
And
yeah.
movies like that, man, you absolutely have to watch it from beginning to end, especially that movie.
Another Tarantino movie, I think I have an unpopular opinion. I don't know if I've told you this opinion. This is a very unpopular opinion, and we can get into that in another episode, have our unpopular opinions, whether it be on music and film. You know some of mine, but this is maybe one I'm throwing on you on a whim. It's about Tarantino. I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood about either, I can't remember if it was 2, 3 weeks ago or a month ago, but it was a little while back. And I loved that movie so much that if I had to rank it, I'd put it over Pulp Fiction.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen it yet. But I've heard many people, give it, mixed reviews.
It's mostly been mixed from audiences because, the hardcore Tarantino fans, and I'm not saying I'm not, I really enjoy his work. They love Pulp Fiction a lot, so it's a lot for them to put to top Pulp Fiction. For me, Pulp Fiction was one of those movies I watched for the first time maybe a year and a half ago. I didn't have a lot of nostalgia for it, so maybe that's why. And the movie's still great, but I think the reason why I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the characters. I like the Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio's characters together and separate more than I've liked any of the characters he's done so far.
Absolutely, man. And I've heard good things about them too. I do love Pitt and DiCaprio, in different movies and stuff like that, but so I really need to check that out. And anybody else who's wanting to check it out, we can give a review on that in more depth in future videos and stuff like that. And here pretty soon, we're definitely going to be doing these, and we will let you know in videos prior of what movies we're going to watch and when we're going to do the, the announcements and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, and I have a YouTube channel where I do rankings and reviews, and we could work something out to where me and you are both on doing that, or we can have our own separate review channel, or we can just do reviews into the podcast. There's so many different ways we can do that, but absolutely, we'll be letting all y'all know, what we got up coming up.
Absolutely. And plus, with everything that's about to go on and stuff like that, projects wise and stuff like that, we will keep you posted. And in fact, Kennedy and the Straight Man, if you want to go ahead and give them a follow, it's just Kennedy and the Straight Man on Instagram.
And if you have difficulty finding that, you can I can speak for myself here. I'm sure Gage, you've probably done it as well, but I don't know. I have the link to that profile still in my bio on Instagram. So I'm clay.stewart.549436. You'll find me there. I have a picture of me standing there, maybe slightly skinnier than if you saw me in public now with a Jeep behind me. And I have a link to that. So I have a link to the profile. If you can't find it just through the search engine and Instagram, you can definitely find it that way through the link in my bio.
Is there any way to do links in the comments here?
That I'm not so sure. I don't think so.
All righty.
Because I don't know about a comments area here. I know the voice message area.
Okay.
We could read out a link in a voice message.
Right.
Like,
right.
Hey, let's put in a 30-second, 30-second clip. Okay, https://.
Right. But yeah, and everybody definitely stay tuned. We're definitely gonna be doing these when we can, when we have time. And so if this is all right, I think this is some wrap up time, man. Is there anything else that you would like to say?
I've enjoyed starting this journey, the podcast, we could podcast the projects we got coming up, and I feel like this accomplished a whole intro. I don't feel like we need to do a second episode, so I'm gonna go ahead and make the announcement. I've been talking to a couple of people who would be more than interested to be our first guest, and our next episode, I've mentioned the person that I want to be the first guest on the podcast. I mentioned it to you. Someone I've talked to on Twitter a bit who's actually a writer, and he'd be more than okay with coming in, and we'll invite him on the podcast, and we'll do whether he wants to be on the whole episode, and we'll do a format of maybe his opinions, his tips or the processes he goes through and what made him decide to want to be a writer. And he's a screenwriter. And he'll be our first guest, Cameron Box. It's Cameron Boxy on Twitter. So go give him a follow there.
Absolutely. And I will go do that as well. I've heard he's an absolutely great guy, and I can't wait to get him on here.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for you to meet him as well. I'm excited to have him on because he's given me a lot of tips. Back in the beginning when I first met you and then learned that, you loved making movies, I was still afraid. I was still iffy about it because I was like, man, he's been making movies for a while, and all these filmmakers that are big and, have made it that I look up to, they were doing it in that same window that you were doing it in. I'm a very late bloomer, but I talked to him, not necessarily about that, but just about, ideas and him being a screenwriter. He would always mention, it's good to have input. It's good to have people around you that have different but similar opinions. And I feel like that's the perfect thing you could say about me and you is, yes, we have similarities when it needs to matter about, how can we do tone? How can we do, certain things? But when it comes to tastes or the types of movies we create, mine's going to be more my movies, at least right now, the first two, three projects that I do that are completely from like mine are going to be more on the thriller aspect. Yours are more the horror field. And somewhere down the road, I may do a horror flick. I have an idea for a bonkers horror comedy, but I wouldn't quite call it a horror flick. It's more just a crazy comedy.
Right. Yeah. And I remember you talking about that too, man. And I think we can actually learn a lot from each other and from, other people who want to put inputs. But yeah. So, but I think more content will be here to come. And
more episodes for sure. I would say a schedule. We're not going to do a tight schedule, but I think it's safe to say, wouldn't you say it'd be safe to say max every 3 weeks, we'll at least have an episode out every 3 weeks or so.
Oh yeah. If not plenty more, if it's,
yeah.
I
know a lot of podcasts do weekly, but with us being so busy over the summer, the latest you can expect is that we'll at least have one and two, maybe two episodes per month. And as long as time opens up, we'll see about maybe doing three or four a month. But right now, we'll say about two, expect at least two episodes a month.
Absolutely. And, but yeah, man, this is a great introduction video, I think. And I hope everybody likes it. And I hope everybody stays tuned for more.
Oh, yeah. And, also, if you want to be able to send us voice messages that I mentioned before, again, it's through Anchor app. You can do that through looking up our podcast, 3 a.m. Gaming Jamming Cinephiles on Anchor. You can send us voice messages that we can listen to and respond to in certain episodes. It could be anywhere from recommending a movie for us to watch and talk about in an episode, or our opinions on something, or just asking us, something that's in the realm of, have you investigated this area? Paranormal, once we get into that. anything like that, you can send us there on this app. And this podcast is not just going to be Anchor exclusive. It's just going to premiere on Anchor first, and we'll be out on all major podcast platforms within about a week to week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. It all depends on how Anchor distributes it and how fast. So, yeah, it's going to premiere on here first. It's going to be out on all platforms, and we're very glad to have gotten this intro out there. I think it was a good intro. So expect the next episode to come out within at least 2 to 3 weeks. We'll see. And we'll also see – I'll see what works best for Cameron, and we'll bring him on, and he'll be our first guest.
Absolutely. Well, all righty, guys. Y'all take it easy, and we will see y'all here again here pretty soon.
All right. See you around, guys, and we'll see you in the next one. And remember – hey, you can combine a lot of stuff. We're combining paranormal, music, gaming, and film. You can combine all that. Combine your interest, and you might have something like we got here. And we'll see you around.